Well, good afternoon, everybody out there in internet land. I am Jay, and as of right now, I am flying solo for this broadcast. So anybody who is tuned in for the Jay and Rob Toy Show, some stuff has come up, and it's just me right now at the present time. Hopefully, I'm going to have a co-host in a few minutes. But how's everyone doing out there? Yeah? Pretty good. Good. I see we got Soundwave. I mean, this dude is awesome. You always give such support and such love, man. So I really do appreciate that. Can't wait for another awesome video, Jay. That's great, dude. I mean, that's the kind of thing that keeps me going. Doing YouTube full time is a lot of hard work and a lot of discouraging work sometimes, but I do what I can, so I appreciate comments like that. Dan, what's up? How are you, my friend? Thanks for tuning in. It's just me today so far, but I do appreciate everybody tuning in. Hey, Elise, how are you? Everyone seems to be doing good. So I often like to talk about the weather. I don't know why. I just do. It's sunny here in good old Ontario, Canada, but it's still cold. But who gives a crap about that? You don't want to hear about that. Today we're talking about our five favorite figures. So we were going to do Rob's top five of all time and my top five of all time. And in classic Jay and Rob fashion, I'm sure he would disagree with my list and make fun of me and all that kind of stuff. But hey, I guess I'm going to have to make fun of myself. Before we do that, I want to give an auction update. Let me pull out my trusty phone here and give an update to everybody. So our Sectars sold. The margin wasn't as great as some of the other items that I picked up during the second season, but that's just kind of the way she rolls. I mean, sometimes the items do really well, sometimes not so well. But Prince Dargon and the Dragon Flyer is going to a great home. And I'm not going to reveal if whoever has bought it is in the chat. They want to speak up. That's up to you. But I'm certainly not going to disclose that info right now. Safe to say he is a big toy collector. And he's got another great piece to add. And I'm really torn with this one. I think I said this last week on the Jay and Rob Toy Show that out of all the items that I collected, the sealed Prince Dargon was one that I really didn't want to let go of. And I kind of toyed if I wanted to put it in the auction or not. I did, and he's being shipped out as we speak. So goodbye, Fair Prince. Hopefully someday we will meet again. Probably not, because a boxed Sectar with its mount is extremely, extremely rare. So the next item we have this week, of course, is the Ahsoka Tano. So this is the Vintage Collection Ahsoka. Just looking at my phone here to make sure I have all the details. This guy has been viewed a ton of times. There's only been one bid so far. Now this Ahsoka, unfortunately, is really there's bad timing with it, because this guy came out in 2012. And just recently, over the last few months, the Vintage Collection has kind of re-released Ahsoka. So this is the original Vintage Collection Ahsoka from the Clone Wars. It's a beautiful figure. I don't have her down here, but I do have one myself on the vintage wall there. She's great. And anyone who's a Star Wars purist will love this one, because it's the, like I said, the 2012 one. So make sure I just go to Action Figure Adventure, go to our Facebook page, and you can see Ahsoka there. You can click on the link and bid on her right now. She's an expensive one, but let me tell you, she is well worth it. She's one of the most gorgeous figures that I've ever seen. And it looks like arriving fresh off the plane all the way from Texas is my good pal to save the day. So let's bring in dun, 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 Nathan.
What's up, my friend? How are you doing?
AKA Tater the Toy Guy. Are you still going by that?
Yeah. Hey, well, I mean, Rob calls calls me that all the time. He's the one that came up with it. So
if Rob calls you that, I guess it has to stick.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's been a long time.
It has been a while.
Hopefully you're doing well. Cindy's doing well and everything in Texas is good. No more freezing or flooding or what?
No, it's supposed to be, I think, 80 today. So I think we're doing all right.
Yeah. So I gave you very short notice. So right off the hop, I do appreciate you jumping on, dropping everything for Rob and I.
I left the Starbucks line and darted straight home.
Did you get a chance to grab five things?
I did. So okay, yeah, Cindy brought it in the end.
Don't show me yet. I gave you like 5 minutes notice. So Nathan is nothing but a professional and a good pal. So thanks again, dude, for doing that.
Absolutely.
So what we're going to do, we're going to go through our five favorite figures of all time. But before we get to that, I feel that since I have you face to face, so to speak here, I need to razz you a bit. And there's been a bunch of items that you said you've wanted for Action Figure Adventure Season 2 auction, and you have yet to obtain any of them.
No, I have not.
What is going on with that?
I keep getting outbid either at the last minute or I wake up too late and it's sold for more. And so, yeah.
Damn sleep.
Yeah. I think, you know, with Eternia and the sail barge, that might be a different story. You know, I'm okay with losing the smaller items, but I don't know what those are going to go for. And I don't know exactly how much Cindy's going to let me spend, but I'm going to do my darndest to win one of those.
So it's the barge and Eternia that you're after, right?
Those two. I think so. Yeah. Those are the big items. I mean, I've wanted some of the other items. I wanted to win one of the smaller items just in case I didn't win the barge or Eternia. But
right.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
So you realize, my friend, and this is maybe by design, that both of these are local pickup.
Yes. And, if I win the barge or Eternia, I will be making a trip out to Canada.
If you win a barge or Eternia, you have to hang out with me. So
absolutely.
So how do you feel about that? That'll be pretty fun, man. Yeah. I think it's about time that we meet.
Yes,
definitely. So yes. I hope you win. And those are coming up real quickly. I can't believe how fast. We're over the halfway point for all our items for the auction. And some great, great, I don't know how to say it, cash is going to the Children's Health Foundation. Thanks to you guys out there and for all your support. Servius Snape, you put your bid in. Is that for Ahsoka? Because that's the current one. I'm wondering if that's what you mean. Ryan, what's up? Everyone in chat. My good buddy Neil. Huge Joe guy. Thanks, dude, for tuning in. Hello, Jay. I'm very good. I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for asking. And hey, Jay, thanks for all the awesome content. Oh, dude, thanks. I appreciate you supporting me and watching and all that kind of good stuff. Okay, so let's get to five favorite figures. This is what everyone is here for. Nathan is somewhat new to the collecting space as far as action figures, a couple of years. But man, have you grown like an impressive collection very quickly?
Very quickly.
Cindy, what do you think about that? His quick collection. Do you want to start with, we'll go five being, you know, the least favorite and one, of course, being your favorite. Did you want to start with number five? And I guess just hold it up to the camera as best you can. It
can
be
absolutely packaged.
It can be loose. It can be whatever you want, my friend.
I'm going to turn on the overhead real quick so that I have a little bit more light in here.
Let's do that. Yeah. So while Nathan's adjusting his lighting, everybody in chat, play along with us too. So as we go five down to one, I want to hear everyone in chat. You got to think of your five favorite figures of all time, all generations, any brand, carded, not carded, anything that's in your collection, play along. So we're at number five right now. Cindy's saying his collecting pace is exhausting, Jay. Well, that just means he's a professional at what he does, Cindy.
So do you want me to go first?
Let's do number five. This is Nathan's number five of all time, everyone. Of all time.
This one is one that I didn't like when I saw it first come out. I hadn't held it in my hand, but it is probably the bottom of my top five favorite figures of all time now.
Okay.
I've always been in love with Faker. I've always loved, you know, that character and the different renditions they came out with. But when I saw this one, like I said, I didn't like it, but it is the PowerCon exclusive Faker with Duplicat.
Look at you flexing. Damn you.
You know, I didn't like that they, you know, that they did it after the Leo Faker, you know, because I didn't like that figure. But once I got it in my hand,
yeah,
I fell in love with it. And he is just probably one of my favorite characters of all time. So
that is beautiful. Let's take a look at that thing. Yeah, I mean, that was the one I remember. Remember when all those pre-orders went up? I didn't have quick enough fingers. I got. That's a beautiful figure, dude. That's incredible. He has black eyes.
Yeah, he's got black eyes. He's after the I'm losing my words right here.
The mini comic or the show?
No, not the mini comic. It's one of the fake the bootleg. Oh, I wanted to call it a reboot. I don't know why I wanted to call it. It's a bootleg.
The bootleg. Yeah.
It's after the bootleg Leo Faker. Cool. Yeah, so he's got the black eyes, and he's a really cool figure.
Yeah, so when all those pre-orders went live, I remember I clicked on most of them. The only one that I actually got into the cart was it the Hordak and the two troopers or something like that.
Yeah,
I missed the Grayskull add-ons, which I really wanted for the origin stuff. And Faker is the first one to go, right? I mean, that's the coolest one. And yeah. Then when it was time, I did it through Big Bad Toy Store. And then it was time for it to ship. I remember it was like 200 something US, and I canceled it. I'm like, I can't justify.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, those were. I think he was $60 at PowerCon, and then when it hit Big Bad Toy Store, he went up to 200 and something, and the Grayskull add-on, I think, was 130 when it was originally $30 or something like that. And so it got expensive really quick. And I was lucky to score one through Rob.
Nice.
I bought it off of Rob, and he's up there on my list.
He's very impressive. Well, now, you know, I don't even want to show any of mine.
You may not like the ones I'm going to show.
That one is, man, how am I going to show Marvel Legends after that? But whatever. Okay, so I did a YouTube video, I think in 2020, of my top five of all time. And it's funny how things change. I'm really glad, actually, you and I are doing that, because I'm pretty sure Rob could predict all five of these. Mm-hmm. Which is funny, because I don't even have any clue what his five would be. So my first one, and everyone in the chat, again, throw down your five figures here. So I'm a huge fan of Daredevil, specifically early Daredevil, the first six or seven issues when he had the yellow costume, which when Frank Miller wrote Daredevil, he made the origin of that costume being that was Matt Murdock's father's boxing robe that he fashioned the first Daredevil costume out of. So I finally got my hands on a Marvel Legends yellow original Daredevil.
Oh, wow.
And this is not really rare or anything like that, but I've not seen him. So I actually finally bit the bullet and went onto eBay. But the first design,
I've never seen that costume before. I didn't even know he had a yellow costume.
Oh no, yeah. The first six, I think it's the seventh issue of the original Daredevil run, he gets his red suit. But the first six, he's got the yellow suit with just the big D. He still has the you know, the same weapons and all that. But
yeah,
this is the same mold as the red Daredevil, which is actually a lot rarer than this one for some strange reason. But I love the legend sculpts, and out of all the Daredevils, I would say he's my favorite, which is funny because in the Jay and Rob Toy Show season two, I picked my favorite legends as the Charlie Cox Daredevil, but this guy has definitely bumped it out. He's got a little bit of a loose torso, but that's okay. What's we got Chad in the crowd. What's up, brother? Chad's on his way to band practice, I believe. He's driving to see the boys and play some drums tonight, so that's exciting. Eye Trench, original Serpentor, is a super impressive figure of all time, maybe top five. Yeah, the original Serpentor has one of the most notorious fragile accessories in all of action figures. That's his cloak, his cape, whatever you want to call it, that very fine, it's almost like tissue paper. It's just crazy with all the glitter, but that thing, it's always ripping at the armholes there.
I have not gotten that. Serpentor is probably one of my favorite characters of all time. And but I cannot, I want him complete. I don't want to get him incomplete and then have to build him. I am looking for him complete, and I have not been able to find him with his cloak. So
the cloak and his little dagger, and then he has the snake and the chair. Mm-hmm. The chariot's usually pretty easy to find, but yeah, I don't blame you, man. That's not one I'd want to piece together. That cloak, I'm sure you can get repros. I'm sure there's people out there that do great repros, but you probably want an original for that one. Ryan says 87 Playmate Turtles Raphael. Oh, that's a good choice. Raph is my favorite Playmates turtle as well, dude. He's the turtle with the attitude. What can I say? Okay, are you ready for number four, brother?
I am ready for number four. So this one is not a rare or vintage one. This is a newer figure. But and from I don't know if this is an obscure line or not. I mean, it's not obviously Masters of the Universe or G.I. Joe. It's not real well known, but it is it's an up and coming line that I'm really, really excited about, which is the Mythic Legion line. And I can't even say this guy's name. It's like Arthurius, or I forget exactly how to say his name, but he's about 9 inches. And the molding and the sculpt on him, if I can get up closer, is just absolutely amazing.
That's beautiful.
The accessories that he comes with a, you know, with a hat and the staff and the axe actually can combine to make a bigger weapon. He comes with fur loincloth, both in the front and the back. He's just an absolutely amazing figure, and the detail on him is phenomenal.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, that is just incredible. Wow. Yeah, they're doing some incredible work with Mythic Legions. I've so far kept myself away from it, but you're making it very difficult, man. That looks gorgeous.
You know, it's one of those more expensive lines, and so I have to pick and choose what I like, and I, you know, it's not one that I can actually, you know, collect all the waves, right? Because like I think in one wave there was 47 figures in one wave, right, and you know, and they seem to come out with figures quite often, and at a more rapid pace than like Masters of the Universe Origins, and so I can only really collect the ones that I absolutely love. So
that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this, I think at our old show, and I mean, I've talked about it with Rob countless times. It's that, you know, if you just collected one IP, which I really don't know any toy collector that does that, even, you know, big He-Man guys like Masters of the Universe Joe and stuff like that, he still does Mask and Marvel stuff, right? So if you just collected one line, you know, I could see Mythic Legions, you might be able to keep up with it, yeah. But if you're doing multiple, and I mean, that's a good problem to have, right? That they're putting out so much great content that it makes you want to collect them all. So dude, I don't know, that's a tough one. I like the ones that are, you know, it's the hat tip to the Masters of the Universe characters, where it's very obvious that this is supposed to be Skeletor, but it's not. You know, those,
right?
You can tell that they're putting what they love into what they do. So that's wicked. Again, I feel like I don't want to show mine now. Do I have five? Yeah, I have five here.
Okay. Hey, by the way, I apologize for the lighting. I didn't have enough time to set up everything. So,
dude, that's. Not so a problem whatsoever. We're just here to have fun. Okay. This one I've shown off many times. It's my favorite Star Wars figure. And this is one I had quite a story with Amazon when I ordered this, a mistake.
I know which one this is.
I won't make again. Yeah. So anyone who knows me, I say that a lot. knows how much I love Luke Skywalker, specifically from Return of the Jedi. Now, this is one of the error ones, but you can't. I'm not going to hold it up too close. This is the Vintage Collection, number 175. There's been many versions of Jedi Luke from Return of the Jedi before this, but this is the newest version. And in my opinion, the best Luke figure there is. The likeness to Hamill is incredible. And I'm such a sucker for the Kenner card art. Not necessarily the Vintage Collection back, although I do appreciate the solid Kenner colors they do. But remember the old Star Wars packages, man? It was like all of figures, and now it's all this legality crap and whatever other crap that is. But anyway, so I ordered this one off Amazon. He kept coming. His eyes were crossed. Then they were like, one was that way.
To the side, weren't they?
Yeah, they were to the side. So, and I wasn't going to take him out, right? So against, you know, on the wall. So he's like looking sideways like this. I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't. It's just bothering me so much. I think it took, if I remember, four or five times.
And Rob even ordered one, and he got a completely different figure.
Rob tried to get one for me because when I was doing this, you know, when you order from Amazon, it says quantity low. I don't know if they do that just to cause some kind of panic. But so Rob's like, I'll try one because they're almost out. And he got a clone trooper. I can't even remember what clone trooper. So it wasn't even Luke that he got. But, you know, God bless Amazon for at least trying. But, yeah, so that is my favorite Luke Skywalker figure. Absolutely love it. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Hey, Mike.
It's a nice guitar you got there. Bill, you love the story. Yeah, you love my torture.
I still think the best story that you told was with, what was it? The Peter Parker. Splooterman or something. I forget what you called him.
I think you called it. Didn't you call it Splooterman or Rob did? I called him Peter Perkins.
I can't remember. I thought it was Peter Perkins. That's right. And somebody called him Splooterman. And I'm not kidding. I haven't laughed so hard in my life, man. That was so funny.
That was a Marvel Legends that I purchased from the classic Spider-Man wave with the vintage card art. And someone had opened it, taken out the actual Peter Parker and put in, I think it was a Lex Luthor body with the extra Parker head. And I got to admit, I didn't even know until I got home and I was like, wait a second.
And then one of the accessories was one of those blue, I forget what it was, but it was like some hand thing and it didn't even go to him. So.
We couldn't even really like identify it. I still don't think we know where that hand is from actually. But Rhett, what's up, brother? Thanks for tuning in. You were on the stream last night with Mike and I, so thanks for showing up again. So Flint, Luke Skywalker, Soundwave, Beastman, dude. I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong with that lineup. That's amazing. I'm just curious, what Luke Skywalker? And this is just for my curiosity. Is your favorite one? Ryan's saying Star Wars fans might hate this, but I almost chose 95 Power of the Force Jedi Luke as my fifth. No way, man. I've said it many times that I prefer the more modern 3.75 Star Wars figures. The Kenner ones are great for nostalgia, but they look nothing like the, you know, the actors. Some people care about that. Some don't. I do. But, okay, what are we at?
And like the articulation, too. You know, those vintage figures didn't have any articulation.
They didn't. And, the good with that was that, you know, unlike Joe's, there's no O-ring, so nothing is really ever going to break on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, they move very stiff. So that was good. But yeah, once the Joes came out, it was like, it's pretty hard to go back to Star Wars. And pretty hard. Is it me or is it you?
It is me.
It is you. You're at number three already.
So I kind of don't know if I'm allowed to show this yet or not. I'm going to. I can't say the story behind it because it has to do with something coming up, but and it may stay in my collection. It may not. It just depends. But
is it something from the show or is it just something you just
it's something from the show, but it's not something that you guys have, you know, featured or anything like that. It's just something that maybe a donation may not be. I don't know yet. I may just buy it myself. We'll see. I'm gonna show it, but
go for it.
I'm gonna go for it, but So it is the 1980s version Kraken. So,
oh my God.
This is something that Cindy and I picked up a couple months ago. And we are kind of at an impasse of whether or not we are keeping him or just donating the money to the children's health, or we are going to auction him off to get money for the children's health. And
is he complete? He is
complete.
He's not broken.
No, he's not broken at all. The tail is good. There's no scratches. His fin pops off every once in a while.
Those do come off.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Okay. And I can't really give you advice either way. But what I will say is that I'm doing a Clash of the Titans video as we speak, which is hilarious that you pulled that out. That is one of the rarest toys from the generation of like the 80s that there is.
We found him in the wild too, and I got him at an amazing price based on what he's going for online right now. So
that Kraken is worth a fortune. And to get one with the fins intact or the tail or, you know, nothing broken, because he's you picked him up. He's hollow. There's nothing on the inside of that figure. He's two pieces molded together. The arms are on ball joints. The fins are kind of like a soft waxy kind of, it's a different plastic than the rest of it. But it's extremely fragile. I don't know what to tell you on that one, brother.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't say anything, but that's absolutely impressive. And now I definitely don't want to show you anything else because you're just killing me. 80s freak just woke up from California. Oh, here in California and watching, brother. Oh, what's up, dude? Thanks for tuning in. And very jealous that you're in California. One of my favorite states of all time. Cindy's saying, Nathan and I have same policy now. We only order from Amazon if you're planning to open the figure. Yeah, that's a good good rule. Absolutely, Cindy, because I've talked about Amazon, and I've known a few people who worked in the warehouse, and they pull everything from big shelves and they put them on these conveyor belts. And then at the end of the conveyor belts, they fall into big boxes, right? And the boxes go to wherever they need to be shipped. But stuff is falling on top of everything. Yep. So you have big, you know, Seinfeld DVD sets falling onto like Luke Skywalker figures. And, you know, you have big, heavy books crushing comic books and other things like that. So, yeah, it's not really their fault.
You would think that if they're going to sell collector's items, that they would have a different process for something that's fragile or something that's, a collector's item. You know, I don't understand that logic of, you know, we're going to sell something that, you know, people want pristine, but, you know, we're going to crush it anyhow.
Yeah, and I said this too, I think, in that Luke video where I said, if it's damaged, I'm fine with that. Just put it in the description like you would eBay, right? But I guess it's probably not damaged until they put it on that cart to go out, right? And then it's whatever happens to fall on top of it. That's, they might have to change that system. I ordered the new Stay Puft Marshmallow Man figure from Amazon last week, and it arrived. The plastic blister cracked right down the middle. Mike, is that the Kenner reissues? I'm assuming that's what you mean. Yeah, that Stay Puft is a heavy figure. And why they put that on a card back in the day? Well, I mean, I know why they did, right? Because these things were meant to be open and played with. But, yeah, that's crazy. A lot of comments, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're on my channel here, usually on the Action Figure Adventure and Rob McCallum channel, but we're on for our new time slot, which is noon. And I think it's actually kind of better because it's kind of like Saturday morning cartoons, kind of, right? Kind of, maybe.
I like it. I mean,
not as entertaining, but
if I wasn't on the show, I'd probably be in front of my TV with my, you know, laying on my chest with my legs kicked up, you know, doing this like Saturday morning, you know, it's.
Oh, dude, I love you. Okay, so three. I'm my three, right?
You're three.
Okay. So you got to have a G.I. Joe. I got to represent my favorite toy line to collect, which is Real American Hero. I thought about showing the loose version of this figure. I'm not a carded Joe collector, But with my favorite figures, I like to get kind of every version of them. So during shooting, I've shown this on my social media many times, but I'm going to show it again. During the filming of season 2 of Action Figure Adventure, I found this gem at Treehouse Collectibles. And this is my very, very favorite, not only G.I. Joe figure, but one of my favorite pieces of all time. So this is a sealed version 2 1988 Storm Shadow. A lot of
that
people love
beautiful.
Yeah, it really is, man. And we have, or we had a department store here, Nathan, called Zeller's. Strange name, I know. But it was kind of like Target, Walmart kind of thing. And I love how the price sticker is still on there. I haven't even tried to take it off because it's a piece of history. It's a stamp from where this came from and the journey it's been on. There's the back. I know a lot of people prefer the, you know, standard ninja style of Storm Shadow, but I loved this because I didn't read the comic back then, the Larry Hama comic. So when this came out and it said he was a G.I. Joe, I remember just being as a kid, I'm like, I liked him even more, right? Because I liked the good guys better.
Right.
But Storm Shadow was never really bad in the Marvel books. So finding that out all these years later kind of makes it that much more sweet. But I love Storm Shadow. And this one is actually unpunched. I didn't even notice that. Can you see it? There you go.
You know, I've never understood the whole punched versus unpunched. I mean, does it really make it that more valuable?
It does because it signifies that it hasn't been on a shelf. Right? Oh, literally. Okay. And in 1988, like, I mean, I can't get into the mind of an adult back then because I was just in grade 8. Right. So, but the idea of pulling a figure out of these cases and just kind of saving it is so strange to me. Yeah. You know, any worker there would just pull them out of the cases and pop it right, you know, onto the shelf. So it would pull out the middle part. But someone saved that and I got lucky. I mean, to be honest, if it was, you know, punched, I still wouldn't care. I would have got it because you don't really see that version of Storm Shadow a whole lot. So I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to take a chance when I can.
That figure's gorgeous, man.
It is. What's your? Do you like that one better, or do you like the original? Like design wise.
Design wise, I'd probably have to go with the original. I don't know why. It's just maybe more nostalgia than anything. I like the original suit. But you know, the one thing I do like about that is that he's got the hood, and you can see the hood.
Yeah.
And you know, the originals, they were kind of just so flat, you know, it's just the paint application on it instead of an actual, you know, 3D version of, you know, his ninja outfit kind of popping out. Yeah. And it just, you know, they have some of the 3D applications on there, but it's just, I don't know, you know, it's, I like some of the more modern stuff because it looks like they're wearing clothes. Some of the older versions, it doesn't, you know, it just looks like it's painted on. So
one difference that I do like, and by the way, I'm just going to throw Ryan's comment here. He loves the Beatles Yellow Submarine figures by McFarlane. I too do. They're awesome. I mean, I remember getting those when they came out, having John and Paul, and just so wicked. Good choice. I was going to say, if you remember the original Storm Shadow's weapons, he had a ton of them and they were all really cool because they all could go in his backpack so he could carry everything, but they were so small. Do you remember the bow? Or I don't know if you have one still or not. The bow for the original Storm Shadow is so frail. The swords are really tiny and frail as well. And the nunchucks, you don't dare bend them because they're gonna snap. Whereas when version 2 came out, he really only had the sword and the claw. But the sword was much more sturdy. You could put it in and out of the backpack without any kind of worry. And I really like the claw. I mean, he's very Revenge of the Ninja, like Sho Kazugi era ninja compared to, I think, the first one.
Right.
I love it. And I love the cheesy digital 80s like camo that he had too. Like, who are you hiding from with that digital camo, the white and gray digital? It's just kind of funny, man.
Yeah, I don't remember playing with a lot of the accessories when I was younger because I would either lose the G.I. Joe or lose the accessory. Yeah. Because I'd have these funerals out in the yard, and they would wash away the next day, and I couldn't find them. And so I lost a lot of Joes in battle and their accessories. So.
Yeah, and to complete that original Storm Shadow, it's not so cheap. Cindy just saw the full Beatles Yellow Submarine set in the wild last week. Yeah, they're cool. A lot of those, too, a lot of that early McFarlane stuff, the bubbles are yellowed. So it makes it easier for anyone to have it, in my opinion, to open them, because that yellow bubble, I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I know it doesn't mean it's dirty. It's just the kind of plastic it was, and over time, it just yellows. But if you do have those Beetle figures and you have a yellow bubble, I would say just open them, set them free kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do have them, Ryan. Yeah, they're amazing. The Beatles, I mean, anyone who likes music, you have to like the Beatles, right? What's up, Rob? How you doing?
Hey, Rob.
Okay. The two. I think it's you.
Yeah, so number two. I'm going to go back to the Mythic Legions line. I kind of go back and forth between this being my favorite figure and being my second favorite figure, but you'll understand why, what my favorite figure is.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of the trolls, and most of the trolls all look alike in the Mythic Legions. They just have either they're different colors, or they have a different head, or and that's pretty much it. But this one is one of the earlier trolls, and he is unlike most of the other trolls. This is Brontus from
Look at the size of that thing.
Yeah, he's a big figure. But what I really love about him is that he's the Cyclops version of the trolls.
Right.
And he's not like any of the other trolls, the accessories. So on him, his weapon is a skull style hammer. The other trolls have either a stone hammer or they have a sword, and it's kind of interchangeable between the different trolls. He also has this chain that he comes with.
Oh, beautiful.
Which is not plastic. It is metal. And he's just an amazing figure, again, with the fur loincloth. He's just an amazing figure.
If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to disclose this. Just let me know, like, what's the U.S. dollar retail on something like that? On a figure?
So retail package for the trolls are about, I would say, about $200. And that's getting from Big Bad Toy Store, brand new, in box. He has gone up quite a bit. So he's between the $300 to $400 range, and sometimes even more.
Wow.
If you have the box and whatnot. So, he's kind of highly sought after. If you see him on eBay, people snatch him up immediately.
Incredible.
Because he's hard to get. So I wouldn't say he's like rare, but he's hard to get sometimes because people snatch him up so much, and there's not a lot of them out there.
Man, I really, you're really making it hard not to start to look into that line.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. The pictures do not do it justice. At them and you're kind of like, and I was kind of on the fence about getting Mythic Legion. But when I got my first Mythic Legion, I was all in. I couldn't not collect Mythic Legions because of the details that they have in them. The plastics they use are solid. They don't feel fragile. I'm not going to dare throw one of these up against the wall and see how the plastic holds up. Yeah. But they're absolutely amazing. And I know that they use some of the figures for other, factions within Mythic Legions and stuff like that. But every single figure is different in some way. You know, they may use the same body, but, they all have different heads and different clothing. And different weapons, and so I know they kind of mix and match, but you can't really tell. Except for the trolls, the trolls, you can tell that they use the same body, on the trolls.
Right? But I mean, that's been a staple of action figures. My first example of something like that I could think of is Hasbro G.I. Joe, the Real American Hero, the first 13. most of the figures are literally the same person mixed and matched.
Right.
Right. They, you know, Zap is the same head as Grunt. Hawk is the same head as Flash, is the same head as Short Fuse. And the bodies are just mixed.
Right.
And even as a kid, I didn't care. And I'm sure now and as adult, you don't care with the trolls either. Because it's still a different figure. I mean, if you're a Master Jesus, if you're a Masters of the Universe collector, vintage collector, literally everybody is more or less the same, right? So, I mean, I'm fine with that.
And I'm pretty sure all the origin figures, most of the bodies are the same on that. I don't think there's much difference between even the origin figures, which is fine, you know. But it's nice to see that, you know, even though some of the bodies are the same, you really can't tell where they're using, you know, different bodies versus different heads. And, you know, because the accessories and the clothing kind of cover all that, you know.
Right, right.
You know, it's apparent, like I said, on the trolls, but I don't care, you know. I mean, it's, you know, they're trolls. They're all big and ugly, you know. But it's just nice that they can kind of cover that up with, you know, armor or something that that isn't like the other one. And it just makes it look a lot different.
And army building is so popular now with collectors that, you know, people, I mean, the Cobra Trooper for the classified line, people just buy as many as they can just to have that epic picture with Cobra Commander and then all the soldiers, right? So my point is, like, buying something that's a little slightly different, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think it's any company trying to rip us off. I think there's a ton of artistry that goes into each mold. And you want to get bang for your buck, right?
So. Right. Yeah. I mean, it obviously helps the cost of, you know, when they put the toy out, you know, so it keeps it less expensive for us, which is good. And again, I don't mind it at all. It's just sometimes it's nice to see that, you know, things are kind of mixed up a little bit. So
iTrench Storm Shadow had a compound bow for the second version. The first one, he just had a regular old just bow and arrow, but it was just so thin. Just going to go through all the comments. Guys, thanks again, everyone who's watching and participating. This is our new time slot each week. So noon for the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Cindy says that Brontus is my favorite of the Mythic Legion trolls. And I feel like it's a different language because I don't know any of the characters' names or what they look like. So I'm going to have to brush up on that just for my own knowledge anyway. McFarlane Edward Scissorhands. Oh, that's a great figure. I think Edward Scissorhands was a movie maniac, if I'm not mistaken. The NECA 89 Batman. Is that the video game one? The one that's the blue? It's kind of 8-bit style, because those are great as well. My only big thing with NECA has always been the plastics. The plastics are so, I don't know what it is. You got NECA figures, right?
Yeah, they're tough to pose. They're almost, you know, that figure that you don't want to take out of the package because, if you can't pose them, if you can't, you know, use the articulation, they're just going to stand straight. And it's kind of, they're almost prettier in the package.
So. NECA stuff is, and NECA stuff, I mean, they have access to incredible IPs, you know, stuff like Back to the Future and all the horror stuff. I mean, Nathan, you love horror, you and Cindy, right? So it's like, it's hard not to get, I saw a part 7 Jason the other day, and it was just incredible looking, but I'm like, it looks great in the package, but as soon as I take it out, am I going to be able to pose him the way I want? I have a part 2 Jason with the pillowcase or whatever it is on his head, right? And to pose him, it's like you're cracking like a nut almost, because it makes the horrible noise. You're like, oh my God, am I going to break that? And you can run it under warm water, yes, and that kind of helps things. But I just think they've got to fix that, man, because that's a pretty fatal flaw in all of their figures.
Cindy's got quite a few of the horror NECA figures, and she's a little bit more delicate with her figures than I am with mine. I mean, I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, they're meant to be bent and posed, right? I mean, that's the point of a toy. Otherwise, you know, it would just be a statue.
Yeah. Right?
So, hey, I don't blame you there. I'm also not a fan of, I don't like the boxes, and you open it up like a book and then you see the figure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like that. So most of the NECA stuff I have, I try to take out, because I just find those packages they take up a lot of space.
And it's hard to display something like that, especially if you have to open it. Then you have to put something in front of the you know, the flap to keep it open. And then if you're cramming it all together, it's they're hard to display.
Good buddy Mike's in the chat. What's up, my friend? We had a good chat last night on Michael's channel about the greatest matches for WrestleMania. So guys, head on over to Michael's channel. You can check that out. We had a blast. Just these guys know way more about wrestling than I did, but it was fun to reminisce, no less. Okay, we are at number two. Okay, now this is not a hipster pick. Okay, I'll explain why this figure is my second. It's probably one. This would have been good on our trivia, Nathan, that we used to do. I don't even know if I
let me see if I can figure
okay, it I'm out. Gonna hold it up. Everyone in chat and Nathan, call it out if you know who this figure is. Okay, so this is my number two of all time, and I'll explain why.
Is that from it's either Robotech or Robotron?
This is a Robotech figure, yes. Robotech. This is from the Matchbox line of Robotech figures.
I don't know who he is, though.
This is Scott Bernard.
Tim Burton's Batman.
This is not Tim Burton's Batman. That never gets old, man. This is Scott Bernard. Why is it my favorite? Well, where I lived as a kid, Robotech was not readily available on TV, and it's a sequential show, so if you missed a few episodes, you were really lost. So I only caught it here or there when I found it. It wasn't like syndication, like Joe and Transformers and stuff like that. It wasn't as readily available. So I didn't know anything about Scott Bernard or the backstory or his story in Robotech. Nothing. But I loved the way this figure looked. The colors, the helmet, the gun, everything about this figure, and the optional Cyclone motorcycle that he came with. Now, it's kind of a little bit of a rough history with Robotech and toys in the States, so I'm not going to bore everyone with that. Safe to say that because Hasbro had a big hand in this, and so the Robotech guys, he would be on his bike. The bike would transform and turn into his armor, and it would kind of become part of him, but Hasbro didn't kind of allow that. So most of the Matchbox Robotech stuff, actually all of it, does not transform, which is like making a Transformer figure that can't transform, right? But I used to love Scott, and he would be definitely in all my G.I. Joe adventures because he is 3.75. He does have an O-ring. Mine, the helmet is removable, but for some reason, mine does not come off. I'm not even going to try and pull it off because I'll probably break him. He's very fragile. There's just something about this figure, Nathan. I love it. I hold him and I feel like I'm home. I feel like I'm a kid again, playing with my buddy Darren, playing with Rob. There's just something about it, man.
You know, and this is another one that I was talking about where I like how he's got the more 3D looking armor rather than just clothes painted on him.
Yeah,
he looks like he's wearing armor, and that is a very cool figure. I like how his armor is really big and clunky in the chest area, but then you can just kind of tell his arms are coming out of it, you know, and that it's kind of like almost like a cloth look to it. I know it's not cloth, but it's just, you know, he's a really cool detailed figure for back then.
Absolutely. And the Matchbox Robotech stuff, the figures aren't, I have a bunch of them carded and loose. They're not very rare, but the vehicles are a different story.
Yeah.
So trying to get the Veritech fighter, I mean, I just got that a couple of years ago and it's completely incomplete, but even the shell of it was a couple hundred bucks and you never see it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I would rather just have a part of it than none of it, right? So
right.
That's my number two. And again, we all have those figures that we kind of gravitate towards. Now as an adult, having gone through all the Robotech shows and stuff like that, he's not the greatest. I think Rick Hunter is a far better character than Scott is. Scott's kind of boring, but it's all about the character I made up for him during playtime and
right.
what he meant to me as a kid, that kind of thing. That brings us to Number one. And I'm so curious to know your number one. So.
You know, I've actually showed you my number one before, and it is a pretty obscure line, although it is Star Wars. I am absolutely in love with this line of Star Wars by Bandai, and it's the Ronin figures by Star Wars, or by
the Boba Fett.
Bandai, the Boba Fett. He is my absolutely number one figure. Just the fact that they took my favorite Star Wars character and turned him into a samurai. Okay, just, you know, take my money, you know. You know, he comes with a sword that's removable.
Wow.
And several of the figures, most of the figures come with swords, and some of them come with two or three. You know, it just depends on the figure. But the fact that they gave him a shotgun and kind of modified it to look more, I don't know if this looks vintage or futuristic. I have no idea. But
That, you know what it almost looks like? It almost looks a bit of steampunk-ish.
Kind of.
Like Old West with, like, you know, gears on it and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, he's the one thing I wish they had done differently is I wish they had given him some of the cloth accessories. Like, this is hard plastic and it's supposed to, you know, represent the cloth coming off his back. And, you know, and this, I don't know if you can see it, but like this little piece right here, it's all hard plastic. And, kind of makes it difficult to pose for his sword and some of the, you know, some of the other accessories and stuff. But he's absolutely my top figure. They even gave him his little I don't know what you call this, but like the monocle can raise up and down for his helmet. I have his jetpack around here somewhere. I was kind of filming these figures. So everything is, if you could see in my back, everything's laying down on the shelves right now because I haven't stood them back up. But he's by far my favorite figure of all time. Just because of the look and the fact that they made something different with my favorite Star Wars character, you know?
I mean, you can find Boba Fett figures at the local convenience store. You know, they're literally everywhere, right? So finding Boba Fett's not challenging, but yeah, when you take, it's so fascinating. I've never been into this genre and cross them over. Right. But you just love that stuff. He looks absolutely cool. He almost looks like a new character, or he looks like a different Mandalorian, right? Like
yes. And I've got the Mandalorian figure too, which he's phenomenal as well. You know, so he's got his long rifle and, you know, he's got the pistol and then he's got a sword and, you know, I've got another one coming with baby Yoda Grogu.
Yeah.
But, you know, they even made his holster to where you can put the gun in his holster. And, you know, they've got a holster for the sword, so you can actually take the sword and the sheath out of his little, you know, his little clip. And you can pose these guys. I mean, the articulation on them is insane. And, they had a big battle. They're all dead. The big ones.
Nathan was up late last night again playing, or as he called shooting, but he was just playing with it.
I was pew-pewing.
That's okay. Yeah, that's something. Your passion for that line is something else, man. You talk about it with like such childlike wonder. It's just incredible.
It takes me back to that, you know, that time in my life, you know. I remember how toys made me feel when I was a kid. And I can't necessarily feel that feeling anymore, but I remember what it felt like. And having these around me just kind of takes me back and it makes me happy. I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. And
that's what it's all about here. I mean, we're too old to play with them now, but you know, you're shooting a lot for the show and you're part of the team now. So you shooting that stuff is the way you get to play with it. Right.
Right.
And, us, you know, posing them and putting them on the shelf. That's playing with them without, playing with them, you know.
Yeah. And I do play with them sometimes. Like, I had some friends over, and Cindy had given me the Castle Grayskull with some figures and stuff, and I was taking them out of the package. And my friend Mike and my other friend Big Red, we call him Big Red. We were in a club together. We were taking them out, and we just all of it. We didn't even talk about it. We just started playing with them, but then stuff got dark really quick, and the wives made us stop, and it was kind of funny, but I still play with them, you know. It's fun, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's all innocent, right? And I don't have any kids myself, but I can imagine having kids and being able to legitimately play with them and not feel like kind of a weirdo or whatever you want to call
right.
it. That would be cool. I don't know. I might have missed the boat on that one. My number one. Oh boy.
And I'm really surprised that Luke was not your number one. I thought that was going to be your number one, but I knew it was going to be at least in your top five. You know, I'm curious to see what your number one is.
Number one is from a short-lived line that only was out for a few years by LJN, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, which was an unsuccessful line because there was a very successful cartoon show, and the toys that came out parallel with this cartoon were very adult, and they were based on the highly advanced Dungeons and Dragons rule book, the actual game, which this is just my thoughts, but unless you were some kind of kid genius, you weren't playing D&D when you were a kid, because that's especially advanced D&D. So the toys that came out didn't really do anything. But, you know, once again, God bless mom. She got me all of them. And this one character, kind of like Scott Bernard back in the day, I knew nothing about, didn't know anything about his story. I didn't know anything about his lore. But he's still to this day my favorite figure. And before I show my favorite figure, everyone in chat, let's hear number one. I want to hear your number one favorite figure of all time. It's going to be pretty hard to take down Nathan's Boba Fett. But here we go. This is 1983 War Duke.
See, he's cool. And I've seen, I wouldn't say a lot of those, you know, from the 80s. But
right.
I've seen some new figures that they're coming out with. And I kind of wanted to get into the Dungeons and Dragons stuff because it's cool.
You should check out the LJN D&D stuff. There's only two waves. It's a very small line, but they had mounts. They had a playset. If you want to get into the sub stuff, they had PVC figures that don't really count in my eyes. I mean, they're not articulated, but you could really world build with this stuff. And I guess the advanced D&D back in the day, for me, these figures were like Mythic Legions.
Yeah.
Right. Where I didn't know the story. They didn't necessarily have one to my eyes. So I kind of made up my own story for War Duke, but he's fully articulated. This is the second version of War Duke. So the original was an O-ring figure, and in classic LJN, this is the Battlematic. Right. He's got kind of a
shield and helmet are just those things are.
Yeah.
I love those.
One of my favorite movies growing up as a kid was a movie called The Beastmaster with Mark Singer.
And I know that well.
You know Beastmaster, right?
I know so Beastmaster.
This character reminded me of the leader of the gang called the Jun Horde, mm-hmm. which were this gang of just pillagers that would come through and just decimate everything. And his helmet's very much the same kind of style. Obviously, War Duke was in D&D books before the film, I believe. But this kind of reminded me a bit of that character. So there was a little bit of Beastmaster tie to that. But all the advanced D&D characters by LJN have gorgeous color palettes. They're very bright and vibrant, which is strange because this character is clearly evil. But, Nathan, you say you're interested in collecting these. If you don't want to go down the vintage route, and this character, by the way, he's a little rare, but he's not very expensive. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, NECA, I'm sure you've seen, is making War Duke this year and another character named Grimsword which was from the second wave of D&D. They're just making those two figures so far, so you're going to get your chance, NECA style, to pick up Borduk if you want.
Yeah. Anything D&D back in the 80s was not allowed to have. My family was very much on that satanic panic back then in the 80s, and D&D and certain things like these figures were kind of off limits to me. So now that I'm older and, you know, I don't have to listen to them, they are becoming more interesting to me, and really kind of wanting to get into that line. And
just reading over the comments here, sorry.
No, you're fine.
So Borduk has a mount named Nightmare, and it's kind of like the old Kenner style Star Wars Tauntaun figures,
right?
Where you kind of put him into the horse, and then there's kind of fake legs on the saddle, so it looks like he's riding it.
But that's great.
It's so cool, man. His horse's name is Nightmare. And for any D&D fans out there, I apologize, because I'm a D&D poser 100%. I've never played it. I don't profess to know, but I do know that as a kid, I love the toys. And the Fortress of Fangs, which is the only playset for D&D, is, I think, one of my favorite playsets of all time. It's just,
yeah, that is rare. Isn't
it's
it?
Rare to get. There's a lot of little pieces to it. A lot of cages, a lot of trapdoors, a lot of stuff like that. It's cool, man. Yeah, you should check it out. If you check out that stuff, I'll look into Mythic Legions, and maybe we can open another can of worms for ourselves.
Deal.
Well, that about does it for us for our new time slot. We're just about over the hour. Nathan, I do want to thank you, my friend, very much for popping in literally 5 minutes before we went on air, because it's great to talk to you, and it's great to talk to you too, man. Myself.
No, anytime you need me, just let me know. I'll be available, and I really appreciate you thinking of me and having me on the show. Greatly appreciate that, and it was fun to talk to you, man. I miss you.
Miss you too, brother. Absolutely. Where can people get at you if they want to talk toys and other cool stuff? I should say, if anyone doesn't know, Nathan is part of the team now. He's part of Action Figure Adventure for life, whether he likes it or not at this point. So,
most of the stuff I do is behind the scenes, and, I get to pop on, shows like this every once in a while, but, you can catch me on Facebook. My tag on Facebook is Shotokan. So if you go to facebook.com/Shotokan, you can find me. I'm always love talking, toys with new friends, and, I'm in the Jay and Rob Toy Collaborative, or whatever the group is actually called. I think we changed it to Toy Collective or something. I'm in there as an admin and, chat with everybody in there. But I actually started streaming on Twitch.
I remember you were saying that.
Yeah, that's not going really well. It's fun, but it's kind of crazy.
You got to grind it.
Yeah.
Remember, like, what I tell, are you playing like PS4, PS5, like just stuff you can.
The Xbox Series X.
So it's just a button to go live, right? Like, you don't have to have a capture card. You're not playing like old 8-bit stuff, right?
No, not old 8-bit stuff or anything like that.
My feeling with Twitch, I think Twitch is a wonderful platform. And like I said, if you're playing the games anyway, you might as well hit that button. I mean,
yeah. So any Twitch fans out there, it's CN Salyer, SALYER. Come look me up on Twitch. I don't have a regular schedule yet, but I'm out there playing PUBG and hopefully going to get some new games and start playing that.
God bless you. I played Fortnite a lot in the day, and that's nail-biting stuff. Go check out Nathan on Twitch, guys. He's extremely entertaining and one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. Joseph, what's going on, my friend? Wes, thanks for showing up. E. Thompson, I'm so bad at reading. Hopefully I pronounce that right. Look at this punk, Joseph Bonacia, showing up late. I do want to plug my stream coming later tonight, also on this channel. Any music fans out there, we are going to pay a very long and very entertaining tribute to Foo Fighters to, you know, just celebrating the band in the light of everything that's happened with Taylor Hawkins. So join us tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to have a bunch of just fun memories and go through all their records and just have a blast. So same channel here, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Get at me on YouTube. I'm still creating as much toy content as you can shake a stick at. Having a lot of fun. And thanks a lot, guys, for all the wonderful comments and for all the views lately. My channel is growing very quickly, and I do appreciate it. I'm not going to use Rob's tagline because I'm going to screw it up. We ripped off Jerry Springer anyway, for anyone who's wondering. That take care of yourselves and each other. It was just a Jerry Springer line anyway. So
I was on one of those shows once.
You were on Springer?
I wasn't on Springer. I was on Forgive or Forget back in the early 90s.
But you were in the audience, or were you?
No, I was on stage. I accused my father of sleeping with my girlfriend. It was all, obviously, it was all scripted and all that.
You did. Yeah. You were not. Are you?
I was.
Dude, you've got to get me this. You got
to
get me this.
I have been trying to find it myself on YouTube, but it was like one of the first two episodes when they went live with
when they changed Love. The format, right?
No, it wasn't Mike Tyson's wife, because she eventually took over that show, but it was the original lady that was on the show, and her name was Mother Love. And
wow,
she but it was like one of the first two or three episodes, and yeah, I was on that show.
That is amazing. You know what? And I probably shouldn't mention this on air, but I loved Springer so much. I even went as far, I bought his country record when it came out. Like, I was obsessed with that show. And that was before the internet or any of the cringe compilations, any of that stuff you can watch now, right? This was like, you had to show up at 4 o'clock and watch it. I just love that, you know, mindless entertainment. But anyways, enough about Jerry Springer. Guys, Ryan, you're going to show up tonight. That's great, dude. So Joseph, who is in the chat here, he will be co-hosting along with my buddy Ryan to pay tribute to Foo Fighters and a lifetime of music. So we'll see you guys at 7 o'clock tonight. Thanks a lot for tuning in for our five favorite figures, my friends. Until next time, take
care. Bye, guys.